Hello and welcome to the JockX podcast, episode 52. My name is Jock, your host, and this is where each week we have on amazing guests to learn their tips, their tools, the strategies, the principles they live by that got them their amazing results. And us as listeners can really grab a hold of these strategies, these principles, apply them to ourselves, our own games, and take us to the next level. And that's what we're all about here, you guys, is really improving ourselves and empowering our greatness. And this week, I'm really excited to have on Margot Moore. Now, Margot comes to us from Melbourne, Australia. She's a senior marketing consultant for a major firm here in Melbourne. She's also now started companies called You Only Wear Once, which is a high-end fashion clothing rental company. She also blogs and has an Instagram following of around 100,000 people. And it was really exciting to have a conversation with her about how she got to the level she's at today. She's young still, she's up and coming, and there is a lot of great tips and advice for us that we can all apply to ourselves and help us improve ourselves and take it up a notch. And it was really great conversation all around. I just want to have a shout out to everyone out there listening week in, week out. And if this is your first time listening, welcome to the show. Excited that you're here. Show notes for this episode with links to Margot's stuff will be on eliteteamleadership.com.au/EP52. And also, guys, if I can ask you just to tell one friend, whether it be send a text message, a link to this episode, about this podcast, obviously about Margot Moore, that would be fantastic. Just help spread the word. We do this for free for you guys, and this is really for you guys to help you out wherever you are on the globe, take your game up a notch. So that would be marvelous if you could do that. But without further ado, let's get stuck into this awesome conversation with myself, Jock, and Margot Moore. Welcome to the show, Margot.
Thank you for having me.
It's exciting to get you here, and as I mentioned, we were last time a little bit of a scheduling error, but we're back on track now and able to sit down and discuss with you, which is really cool.
Cool. Well, thanks for having me.
No worries. Well, I'd love to sort of start off with a bit about your sort of weekly, what it looks like and the sort of different activities you are getting up to in the entrepreneurial world, and obviously with your, you know, your working job during the week.
Cool. So I currently work for a very large global professional services firm. That's my day job, and it's in marketing. So, you know, studied commerce at uni, did a marketing major, so that was just a natural progression for me. But then on the side, I also run a blog, which I tie very heavily into Instagram these days, and then also run a dress rental business with my best friend. So those are kind of the three things that keep me busy on a work kind of schedule, amongst many other things, like having a social life. But yeah, those are the key three things that I guess I do.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's exciting because we sort of mentioned about, you know, sort of up and coming entrepreneurs, and exciting to sit down with you. You're obviously just getting into it, and it's cool to discuss because obviously the amount of work that goes into this is a lot. And I'm sure, as you mentioned before we started recording, it takes a lot of effort to do, particularly we're discussing your blog and Instagram account and what is required to, you know, make that successful. And now you're up to nearly 100,000 followers, I guess, across the globe, which is pretty exciting. Talk to me about the sort of amount of work that goes into each post, and obviously linking up with your blog and website.
Yeah, cool. So I guess I started the blog just to maintain my writing skills about a year and a half ago now. But then obviously I always wanted to tie it back to my Instagram account. So I think Instagram's kind of the main part of the blog now, if that makes sense. But yeah, absolutely. It does take a lot of effort. And I think a lot of the time people, you know, they see these people who have really large following on Instagram and they don't really understand that, you know, that does take up a lot of your life. So I guess these days, you know, we live in a content driven world. You know, content marketing is the most prevalent form of, you know, marketing these days for brands. It's very powerful. So, you know, whenever I do a post for you know, myself or for a company that may be sponsoring me to do that post, you know, I do make sure that I put lots of effort into that. So, you know, when you think about it, you see the post, you see the final product, but I've, you know, done my makeup, done my hair, I've had to find good lighting, I've had to make sure the image is well represented, that I've put thought into, you know, how I'm representing it. And not only that, but, you know, I have to always think about my personal brand as well whenever I'm promoting something. So, you know, if that's, you know, a bikini, for example, you know, you have to do, you have to think about how you're presenting not only the product, but yourself as well. So yeah, a lot of effort does go into that. And you know, working full time as well, you do kind of have to plan when you're going to do these things and make sure that everything's really high quality.
I guess you were obviously discussing before about sort of the commercial side of things is where you sort of promote different products and stuff. You know, what obviously we're interested in here on the podcast too is about sort of the core values that sort of drive what we get involved with and how we sort of act and behave, I guess, in a way. And I guess how that applies to you is what products you endorse.
Yeah.
Explain to listeners how you go about picking what you are going to promote and what you will say no to.
Yeah, sure. So obviously a lot of companies, a lot of startups as well will approach me to, you know, give me some products in exchange for a post or a blog post. Sometimes, you know, more often than not, that's a paid post as well. So I'll get paid on top of that. But, you know, a lot of the time I'll be approached by companies that I may not believe in. There's a lot of fad products going around these days for, you know, the health and fitness industries, quick fixes and that kind of thing. And, you know, being someone who's pretty health conscious, you know, come from, you know, my sister's a dietitian, so always discussing, you know, these new fads that are about, and it's not something that I personally believe in. So, you know, if anything's going to compromise what I kind of believe in, I won't endorse it. And I'm pretty strong-minded about that. So, you know, often I'll be, you know, offered money to post for certain companies, and I just, you know, have to push back because I just feel that these days, you know, there's a lot of bloggers going around that kind of, you do get that ingenuine kind of sense when you're looking at their content. So yeah, that's something that I really try my best to avoid. I do want to come across genuine and that I'm, you know, promoting stuff that I believe in, that I would use myself.
When you see a sort of product comes along and you're not quite sure about it, do you sort of obviously research it a bit more and try and find as much as you can about it, or you sort of just go with that initial, you know, 15-second look at it and go, yeah, yes or no sort of situation?
Look, if I'm a bit unsure or I haven't heard about the product or, you know, the brand before, I'll usually look at their social media channels. I think that's something that's really important too, because even something that might sound quite useful or, you know, something that you may consider looking into, I think if you look at their channels and they're kind of not up to scratch, that kind of reflects poorly on you. It doesn't really make sense, but it does. So if I, you know, was to post about a product and then people looked on their account and it just looked pretty dodgy or, you know, just not professional, I think that's kind of a reflection of you as well. So yeah, I'll kind of, you know, have a scope out of their channels, their website, see who else is endorsing their products, and if it doesn't feel right, then I wouldn't do it myself.
With this, I guess this part, your blog and your Instagram, how sort of far do you want to take it? Or do you just want to continue to grow or sort of just see how it comes? Or what's your sort of, I guess, future plans for that?
So I kind of never really have an end goal. I suppose I just like to see it continue to grow, but in a healthy way. I don't want to ever compromise who I am as a person. You know, I do, you know, want to grow my personal career as well. So I would never want that to kind of overwrite, you know, what I'm doing in marketing. But, you know, if there's ever a time when I might need to leverage, you know, this channel, then I think that's the kind of end goal. So when I come up with my $1 billion idea, then hopefully I can use my Instagram to promote it.
Yeah, that makes total sense. By then, I'm sure you'll have quite a large following. And your third part of it was with, you've started with a friend. So talk to me about that and what's involved and how long you've been doing that for.
Yeah, so my best friend and I kind of always come up with little entrepreneurial ideas. Some of them,
the coffee brainstorming sessions.
Yeah, like we do have some ideas that we kind of start and then we think, no, like this is too much of an investment. Yep. You know, the outlays are just too much and that kind of thing. And who knows, one day we might, you know, run an empire together. But I guess something that we started just a couple of months ago, maybe 6 months ago now, is You Only Wear Once, which is a designer dress rental online business. I guess for us, it was something that you know, tied in naturally to our, you know, current lifestyle. We both have really expensive tastes and live a little bit beyond our means sometimes when it comes to fashion. So starting a dress rental business where we could, you know, invest in things that we would also, you know, have value in ourselves, made total sense. Not only that, but it was really easy to set up. So I think the initial cost of that was, you know, something that we could easily get started with little risk involved, if that makes sense. So, you know, we didn't want to be in a position where we were investing, you know, $20,000 into something that we weren't sure about. So maybe later down the track that will happen. But for now, this is like something that we can balance in our actual, you know, Steph runs, has a really busy life as well. She does her own things on the side as well as her full-time job. So this is something that we can manage quite effectively, and yeah, it's been going well so far.
And you tie that in with sort of your other aspects, I'm guessing, as well, and sort of would flow on nicely, I guess, with the different your other business as well.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously, like I said, I like to, if I can use my Instagram and blog to promote things, and absolutely I'll do that. And you know, whenever I get the chance to speak to other blogs, sometimes I'll do interviews, I'll always, you know, drop the name in there, because it's all about networking, and you know, it's a really great business for people if they, you know, need the services. So yeah.
And I guess just thinking about it, your day job in marketing is obviously just perfectly fits in with everything else. Yep. I guess it sort of starts, you know, any business, you know, it's the driving factor that gets anything going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's I guess it breathes the life into all the businesses you've done. I guess in future, do you hope to sort of run a sort of different set of companies, or would you like to in future tie in? I guess it's a bit of a long-term question, but what do you see yourself doing over, you know, the next sort of 5 years?
So I think that like you said, marketing's like the thing that gets companies off the ground these days, and I see that we're moving into a very entrepreneurial kind of landscape when it comes to products. So we're moving away from massive brands to really niche, I guess, startup companies that are producing awesome things, like Triangle, for example. You know, that was a simple startup. It's huge now. It's a massive global company of swimwear. So marketing's everything. And I think that, you know, in a dream world, I would love to kind of consult to startups and, you know, small to medium companies on their marketing, especially digital and social. Obviously, I've got a lot to learn, but sometimes I do actually take time to consult to small businesses for their social channels, give them advice, show them what they're doing right and wrong, just out of, you know, my own development opportunity. I don't get paid for that, but I've seen success with a lot of small companies that I have kind of taken the time to sort of consult with in those early stages. So I feel like that's potentially something I could do in the future.
It's cool too, he mentioned, like, you know, it's sort of landscape is changing a lot, which I guess is driven from the internet world started 20 years ago. And well, I think when you think about internet, so relatively new, really, like in terms of the world's history.
Yeah.
And I think it potentially is just getting going in terms of how big it can be. What are the, for people wanting to improve their marketing online, what are some, maybe some key things? Maybe we'll start with Instagram, where you're really strong in. What are the sort of the key things you would recommend for, you know, a business, you know, obviously a range of businesses, from maybe consulting through to a retail type?
Yeah.
What would you, what are some key tips that you advise them with that Instagram space and what to do with it?
Yeah. So I think the number one rule with social media especially is that don't do it unless you have a purpose in that space. So like you said, a consulting firm, for example, I would think that that was quite challenging to start marketing through a channel like Instagram, because you're not marketing a tangible product. It's a very visual channel. So if we then look at retail, I think, you know, you've got a purpose there, because you can showcase your products, you can, you know, visually advertise, you know, whatever you're trying to sell on there. So I think that's the number one thing. Don't start a social channel unless you see a purpose for your products or your services. Second to that is definitely have a plan. So I see a lot of startups, especially on Instagram, that just don't know, they don't have any direction, they don't have any, I suppose, objectives, and they just post to post. There's no thought, or there's no rhyme or rhythm behind it, and I think that's really important too. So you need to be consistent. When it comes to branding, consistency is one of, you know, the key things there. So if you want to have a strong brand, you need to be consistent in everything that you're posting, whether that's the hashtags you're using, the way that you actually, you know, show your imagery? So do you use similar filters? Do you have a, you know, a really consistent color palette that's going throughout there? You know, do you post quotes every now and then, that kind of thing? So I think plotting and planning what you're going to post and having a really good understanding of your content is really, really, really crucial. So for a startup, I would just kind of, you know, understand what your brand is, what are the key values and the core, what's the core essence of your brand, and kind of even start with a mood board. I think that's really helpful. So an idea that Steph and I did have that didn't eventuate because it was going to cost us too much at the start. We started with a mood board and we kind of got ideas from other similar, you know, products in the market. What are they doing? What do we want to
What's a mood like? Board? Sorry, what do you mean by that? Sorry.
So a mood board is basically where you just basically get imagery, words, anything to do with what you're trying to achieve as an overall brand. So for example, you might just have a big sheet of paper and you might be trying to market, you know, swimwear. Let's just go with swimwear. So you'll look at Seafoley, you'll look at Triangle and you'll say, yeah, we really like this part of Seafoley and this part of Triangle. And you bring together everything that you want as part of your brand to visualize, I guess, what that looks like for you.
Yeah.
I hope that helps.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think starting off like that is really helpful because then, you know, if you're trying to promote a restaurant, for example, you know that you really only want really sharp images of food that are really close up that people can, you know, you might do flat lays with your, you know, food and then close-ups of your drinks or something like that. So you have that consistency. I think a really, really good one is Mr. Miyagi. I think they've been absolutely brilliant with their marketing. So
decent food too.
Yeah, amazing food. Yeah.
That's really cool. On the flip side of that, what are three things you just hate seeing, you think are deal breaker type situations for businesses in terms of what they put on there? Like, what are things you've got to avoid?
For social media.
For social media, yeah.
I think for me, a real pet hate when I am following a brand or, you know, even a person is when they put really low res images online. I think that is just the number one faux pas. Like, it just looks bad. When people then click into your profile, they see, you know, some high quality photos and then some really bad quality photos, like fuzzy, pixelated. I think that's awful. Just don't do it. Like, why post something that's not good quality?
If it's not good quality, you just wouldn't post it at all, obviously.
No, I just wouldn't post at all. I think the only, like, the lowest quality I'll kind of go when I post is if, you know, it's a sporadic kind of like in the moment photo that's taken on a phone and that's the best quality you can get. That's fine. And I think for individuals and, you know, influencers, that's fine because you need that personal side in your content. But for brands, I just think it's absolutely inexcusable.
Yeah. What else would you suggest that you need to avoid?
This is a hard one. I need to think about
it. That's all right. We can
come back
to that one. We can definitely do that. In terms of yourself, what are sort of the key factors for yourself that, you know, got you going, that you think you're really strong and, you know, got you into this? Because I think in 2016, it's really, you know, sort of sexy, if you like, to be an entrepreneur. Everyone wants to be one. It's the cool thing as of the last few years, I think. What sort of made you, you know, get some success early and, you know, really get the wheels turning? And as you know, a lot of businesses do fail early.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think failure is not something to frown upon. I think everyone needs to experience that to kind of understand success. But I think it's probably very much an innate thing. Like, I've always, even from a young age, like, I used to start restaurants in my back garden and force my parents to pay me for the food that I was cooking. Me and my neighbour.
How was the food? Was it any good?
Oh, you know, it was great. Like, I then went on to start a cupcake business.
I'm the worst cook. So,
oh, really? Yeah, oh, no. I'm actually a really good cook, so that's fine.
Okay,
Then that went into me starting a cupcake business when I was at university just to, you know, make some extra money. And that went really big to the point where I couldn't do it anymore because the word of mouth was just spreading and that kind of thing. So for me, definitely, like, it's just part of who I am. But other than that, and things that I think individuals can kind of bring into their own life, is that firstly, like, I'm very structured. So if something's in my schedule, it's in my schedule and I stick to it. So I try and go to the gym twice a day, and that sounds really crazy to some people, but it's in my schedule, so I'm going to do it. So I, you know, for example, this morning, I went to the gym and I go every morning before work usually, but I hurt my back and I've never hurt my back like this in my life. And I feel like the world's ending because I couldn't go to the gym today. But that's the effect it has on me if I don't stick to a schedule. Like I feel like, and maybe that's not a good thing, but like I am very planned out and I write things down. I put it in my diary. You know, if I'm going to catch up with someone, I'm going to do it. So if I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. So I think sticking to a plan is really important.
Can I just dive into a little further? That's all right. In terms of planning, which is really cool, we talk a lot about it here. I think it's, you know, it's integral. How do you have maybe like, do you have one diary or is it all on your phone? Like just in terms of practically for people out there, how do you go about, you sound like you're obviously very strong in this area. What is your strategy, if you like?
Well I have lots of strategies. I'm pretty type A, so I'm a little bit psychotic when it comes to planning. Just ask my friends. But so I have obviously my laptop calendar, which is work. Then I've got a desk calendar and then I've got a diary. And then for anything social media, for my blog or for anything I'm doing on Instagram, I keep that log on my phone just because that's where I'm kind of doing the posting from. So I literally, every time a product comes in that I've agreed to do a post for, I write in my phone, then I tick it off when the image is ready, and then I put it into my Instagram ready album on my phone. And then once it's been posted, I delete it out of there, so I know that I've got nothing to do for that brand or, you know, whatever it is. They're probably the key ones. But yeah, you know, I think it's really important to, for me, it's important to schedule or to at least write down everything. So, you know, that might be work commitment, that might be a social commitment, that might be something that, you know, if I've committed to go to a cafe to do a blog post for them, like that, I'll write it down. So it's kind of just integrating everything from your personal life to your work life and making it all flow together. Because if you start missing things out from one aspect, then the rest kind of, for me, it doesn't mesh together.
Does your weeks look pretty similar, like week after week? Do you sort of plan weekly with your tasks, or as you said, you're just writing things in as you need to?
So like work week is pretty much very similar in terms of, you know, go to the gym, go to work, do my meetings, whatever I need to do. But every week's pretty different. Like one week I might go up to Sydney for a week or so, do some stuff up there, or just because I can work from any office in Australia, so it's easy to do that. But in terms of the weekends, like they're always different. So it's really important, I think, for me to write that down because I will forget. And then even, you know, personal appointments, like, you know, hairdress appointments, facials, that kind of thing. Like if I don't write that stuff down, I'll forget 100%. Every week's different.
And just on like, you know, I'm always interested in people's how they set the day up with the morning routine. So you're obviously, your first thing, you're straight to the gym and then straight to work from there. Is there anything else do you do? Do you meditate, do yoga, do you do those type of things as well?
So I probably should try to meditate more because I'm a very high energy, highly anxious person. So I actually have started doing that every now and then before bed using the Smiling Mind app, which I would recommend downloading if anyone is like me.
Even Headspace is cool too.
Yeah, I've got that one too.
The 10-day challenge is just good to do. I just got into it last year. It's interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm a bit like that. I'm all over the shop a bit too sometimes. Yep. And I'm into it morning, like every morning. Okay. I can do 10 minutes. So, and use Smiling Mind as well. So they're both good. They're really good.
It's a good idea, I think. Just helps you kind of come back to the earth, you know, if you've, you know, got a wild mind that never stops like mine. Sometimes I just need to like focus on myself for 5 seconds. But in terms of a routine, yeah, like you said, I'll go to the gym before work. I'm really lucky because my gym's in my work building. So I think, like, you know, if people who are out there who struggle to fit their fitness in, I don't believe that people don't have time because, you know, I don't have kids or anything like that. But I think you can, if you put it in your schedule, you can do it. But what else? So I always have my coffee in the morning. I always eat breakfast before I leave the house. So I think that's a really important one for me. I'm very...
Do the same thing for breakfast?
Usually, yeah. On the weekends, I'm usually out for breakfast. But Monday to Friday, it's usually the exact same thing every day. And same for lunch.
Can I ask what it is?
Sure. I usually eat toast every day for breakfast, usually with either avocado or peanut butter.
That's fun. Listeners will understand, but I'm always on people's morning routines. Have you heard of Tim Ferriss before?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of his and he's massive on it. And I sort of definitely follow his lead, I guess, and we seem to mention him nearly every podcast for some reason. But we sort of go right in. I think it's really important. It sets your day up, as you would know, and
absolutely.
Once you find sort of sweet spot, if you like, I think it does springboard you into the day.
I think so.
In terms of like sort of mentors or people you sort of look up to in maybe entrepreneurs or people in the blogging space, who are they and why is it?
Well, I don't know if I've got any specifics because I didn't prepare very well for this at all. But I think overall, I think it's people who are able to not only be successful but do something either really different, unique, or be the best. And by that, I just mean like market leader kind of thing. They're able to kind of catapult themselves into a position where, and I've gone back to this example like every time, but with Triangle Bathers, like they've kind of just become the market leader for online swimwear. And I think, you know, they only started really 2-3 maybe years ago, and they've just found this massive success. And to me, that's successful because, you know, they've taken something that's not, you know, unique at all, but they've done it very differently and they've become the best. And I think that to me, that's really successful. So it's people that are able to take something either really, really simple and just turn it into this wildly successful product. Another good example is Frank Body. You know, it's not a unique product. It's just face creams and exfoliators, but they've built a brand behind it. And I think it's these people, these entrepreneurs that can build this brand, from something very ordinary or very, you know, basic that, you know, isn't something new or innovative or exciting really, but they build this brand and it just becomes the number one, the best, or you know, so wildly unique that no one can really compete with that. So I think to me that's successful. So it's these startups that start from nowhere and just end up huge.
No, that's really cool. When you think of a successful person, who comes to mind and why?
Successful person. Oh, I can't think this. I am so bad with names. So, for example, this is someone you may not know. This is not a big name at all, but Greta Rose Van Riel. I'm not sure if you know her, but she started Skinny Me Tea, and her sister, I believe, started the Frank Body. And
actually, are they Melbourne? Yeah. I have heard of them now.
I guess, like I said again, just taking a really simple idea and making it huge and building a brand. And for those girls, branding has been everything, from the hashtags they use to the content they produce. Everything is on brand. And, you know, they're selling teas and body scrubs, but because they've built this strong brand affiliation, they're so successful. And that brand is like, you know, has only been around for, let's say, 5 years max, and it's already that well known. To have a brand that's 5 years old and be that prolific across, you know, social and the digital world is really phenomenal. So that's someone that I would say is successful 100%. I don't associate wealth with success necessarily. I feel like you have to go above, you know, the wealth factor to be successful. So you have to be doing something that's obviously making money because that's the end goal, but you have to be doing it in a way that's not simple. If you're doing something different, doing something unique and doing something fulfilling, I guess, for yourself. So I don't know if that really answers your question.
No, that was great. No, I love that. It was it is so cool. And I guess from your opinion, with obviously social media now, like these 5-year businesses that come out of nowhere, I guess it's allowed that to happen now, and the coverage is so instant. You can get that. I guess, you know, is that probably the driving factor behind these businesses, you think, like the social media side, that it's allowed for that?
I think absolutely. Both digital marketing that can be so targeted these days, you can really reach anyone you want in the world, and you can really get them to action what you're trying to get them to do. So whether that's visit your website, you know, purchase, etc. Social media I think is probably the key force behind that, just because it does create these brands. It's instant as well, so I think that really helps. And I think these days it's all about engaging with your communities. You know, that's, people love that. They love that instant feedback, that instant kind of gratification. If they can interact with the brand, then it brings it to life a little bit. And I think that's what social media does, is that it's in real time. it's not flicking through a magazine and seeing something and then forgetting about it. It's happening right in front of you. You can do everything from interact with the brand, look at the products, search products via hashtags, and then click and buy. Like, it's so easy. And
yeah.
I think the thing, I guess, that's coming from marketing these days is that, and something that I guess marketers have to struggle with every day, is that people are really lazy. We're becoming really lazy because everything's so accessible and so easy that if you want to successfully market to people, you have to make it so easy. So easy. They literally have to do one thing, click on one thing, and that's all they're going to do. So
yeah,
you've got to make it worth that one click.
Yeah, so simplicity is probably key in today's day and age. What advice would you give your maybe 18 to 20 year old self?
So hard.
Testing you out today. Just so in regards to pursuing what you really want.
Yeah. I think that something that, you know, in the type of marketing that I do, I work with students a lot. And this is something that I would, that I often give advice to the same age kind of bracket, and something that I would have liked to have had more guidance on at that age as well, is that, you know, it doesn't really matter if you don't know what you want to do when you're 18, because no one really does. I think students kind of get cornered into these really narrow paths that aren't really narrow, they just think they are. So they think that if they go to uni and study accounting, they're going to be an accountant. And I think that's really sad, because it's not that narrow. It doesn't have to be. If you study accounting, you can go and do whatever you want. In fact, accounting gives you skills to go do so many other things. So I think that's something that I would probably tell myself, and not that I feel like I've been cornered and I have kind of gone and done what I want, but it takes time to figure those things out, that if you're studying, you know, a commerce degree, which is what I did, I had no idea what I wanted to do. So I didn't realize that I could have done a lot of other things that I haven't chosen to do, which is fine, but it wasn't narrow at all. And I think, yeah, like I said, students just don't see the bigger picture, and they don't really understand that all these skills they're learning, even at McDonald's when they're working their part-time job, that those skills will help you in your professional career or everything else you want to do. So I think it's about taking every opportunity and seeing things for what they're worth. So, you know, communication skills are so important these days, networking, all these kinds of things. So I guess to follow on from that is to network, not in an annoying way, because some people really annoy me when they try and network a lot, but like, use your networks to your advantage, and those networks start back at, you know, when you're 18. So take every opportunity to meet people, and you never know who you can, I guess, call upon later in life.
Just touching on network, just quickly, what are a couple of maybe key things you would, I'll start with, not recommend people to do in terms of bad networking?
So I think being really overbearing when you're networking, I think a lot of times people, especially younger professionals, forget that networking is supposed to be a two-way street. So it's not, I want this, I want this, I want this, how are you going to help me get there? It's about a relationship. It's I guess networking has kind of become a buzzword and people don't really understand what it means, but it's about creating, you know, beneficial relationships for both parties. So you know, it's about meeting people and showing them what you can maybe offer them and how they can maybe offer you something in return. And it's not about using that value of the other person straight away. You might, you know, never need to look that person's number up for 10 years, but I suppose if you can kind of maintain just a relationship in the meantime, then that's how you'll find value in it whenever the moment arises that you may need to call on that person.
Yeah, no, I like that. And the other sort of points I was sort of thinking about, obviously you are right, like when you sort of are 18, you sort of are very, you know, this, given this narrow path, I guess.
Yeah.
Even younger, like you think back when you're in like year 10 of high school, you sort of got to pick your subjects for year 11, year 12.
Yeah.
And that really, in the time you're thinking you're 15 or 16, it is. And I think that's really cool advice for people. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of young listeners too, and about sort of giving yourself the opportunity to sort of spread your wings, if you like, because you know, the system is set up to an extent to drive you down a path of employment and not to really start anything on your own. Mm-hmm. Which is good, has its benefits, but there's definitely its drawbacks. So I think just people out there, especially young listeners, being aware that the fact that they've got the opportunity, especially now, and we discussed with the previous guests, like the opportunity now to start a business. Mm-hmm. Like you were talking earlier about the amount of you know, capital is so minimal now to start something that can grow into something quite exceptional. That's so right. It's a cool time. Like, I don't think in history we're so lucky. Like, it's the best point in history, I think, to start a business, to give yourself a chance to do things from, and you're not limited so much by, you know, a background that requires a lot of funding or anything like that. Just going on from there, got a few last questions to ask you. What are three truths about the world that you believe in?
Okay. This is going to sound really pessimistic and negative, but I believe that no good deed goes unpunished. And I don't mean that, you know, when it comes to your friends or, you know, in every single circumstance. But I think something that's really important to kind of learn and accept is that sometimes people, you know, you won't be thanked. You won't receive gratitude from every person you encounter, and that's just the way the world is. And I think that it's kind of developing a strong backbone that a lot of the time people are not going to give you the same respect or give you, you know, what you were kind of hoping to get in return. So I think for me that's something that has been a personal challenge for me in learning that about life, but I think accepting it and acknowledging it and not always trying to get the same thing out of people that you would necessarily give them back, I think that helps you move on from negative situations. So not to sound pessimistic, but I do believe that. Another truth about the world. Probably this is not a like a saying or anything, but I think a lot of people tend to make excuses in life about why they can't do certain things. They don't have time for this, they don't have time for that. But I think you really have to be very self-driven a lot of the time to achieve things. So you can't really sit around waiting for, you know, opportunity to knock on your door. You've got to really go out and find it. I think, you know, going back to students again, a lot of, you know, university students, I see it a lot these days, they just don't understand, and back to my point earlier, they don't understand what they can really do with their qualifications. So they do miss out on a lot of opportunities. And I see people who have finished uni many years ago and they still haven't found their dream job, but that's not really the best way to look at it. You have to start from the bottom. Everyone does. So I think, yeah, it's just about taking all the small opportunities and making that into something bigger. So I think that's another thing, that you really have to be proactive and you have to do stuff for yourself. You can't just rely on other people to bring it to you. You've got to really go and get it yourself. And I think that's probably something that helps me, is that I kind of just get things done, like even things I don't want to do. Like, you know, I don't wake up at 5:30 every morning, you know, happy that I've got to go to the gym, but I just do it because I know that in the long run I'll be grateful for it. So yeah, just to, you know, do things yourself.
Yeah. I do like to just sorry to interrupt, but
yeah, go for it.
It's interesting, like, people do get caught up on that, don't have time. But when you think about it, you know, if you want to use big examples, Richard Branson, Bill Gates, you know, LeBron James, they all have exactly the same amount of time. So if Richard Branson can, you know, be the head of 350 companies, I think we all can fit that 40-minute exercise session or, you know, whatever it needs to be. So I think that's something to bring the yourself back to reality when you know everyone's on the same treadmill, if you like, in terms of time.
Exactly right. And I mean, like, my, I suppose, business partner, best friend, she's busier than I am half the time, and the things that she fits into her day I find incredible, and I don't know how she does it. So yeah, it's exactly right. Everyone's got the same, you know, amount of minutes in each day, and it's about just maximizing. And I'm not saying that you should be on the go all the time. Like, I find it hard to relax as it is, so I'm kind of always doing something. But, you know, there are days, like yesterday, I did nothing. I just had a day off and I did nothing, and it was great. So, you know, it's about balancing that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Final sort of quicker fire questions. If I could give you a banner and you could write anything on it and you could put it anywhere in the world, where would it be and what would it say?
I think it would say, this is not how I would word it at all, but it would say something along the lines of, be a nice person.
Yep, perfect.
Where I would put it, I don't know where I'd put it. I'd probably put it in Australia somewhere, just because, like, I love Australia and I've travelled to many places, but I love Australia. I think it's one of the best countries in the world. Yeah. So I'd probably put it somewhere in Australia. But the reason I say that it would be along those lines is that I think that these days especially, everyone's got so much going on in their life, and I think people become quite selfish, and you know, we're all guilty of not being active listeners and, you know, drifting off into our own problems, and everyone's got problems. But I think it doesn't take much to just be a decent person and show people respect. And that's something that I've always kind of lived by, that I would never treat people in a way that I wouldn't want to be treated. And I think back to my answer before, that no good deed goes unpunished. You will experience that if you're kind of like me and, you know, try to always treat people nicely. You won't always get that back. But like, I think that we human and mankind is kind of suffering a little bit in that department, not just on a global scale when it comes to war and all that kind of thing, but just on a, you know, day-to-day thing. Like, I think often people get really caught up in their own ego and trying to, you know, climb the corporate ladder. I see it a lot in my day job. So I think, yeah, just to be a nice person, you know, it doesn't take much, and I think it would change the world. That sounds so cliche.
No, I do like it. And it's interesting. Like, I was talking with other sort of guests and people, and to sort of point out the fact that people sort of don't think of themselves a lot. Like, when you think about it, if you ever look at we're all guilty of this. If you look at a picture of a group of people and you're in it,
yeah,
first person you look at
is
yourself.
Absolutely.
And we are very, I guess we are very self-absorbed in a way, but you sort of become aware of the fact that we are naturally tended like that, and then you can sort of step away from that and, you know, really, like you said, be a nice person to other people. I think you can really impact people in a really nice way, which is really cool.
Definitely. Final
question, what are you grateful for?
I think probably just having really awesome friends and family. I'm pretty lucky. I know not everyone, you know, has that same luck in their life. But, you know, my parents have always, you know, backed me for whatever I've wanted to do and supported me. Same with my grandparents, like, we're quite close. So that's obviously just been another support network. My sister and I are really close. And then, of course, my friends. Like, I just have the best friends ever. So, yeah, I think that's probably what I'm most grateful for.
Well, I think that's a nice way to finish. I just really want to acknowledge you for coming on the show. Give us your time. It's exciting to sit down and, you know, really share your thoughts with the listeners, which I'm sure they'll get a lot out of. Exciting to watch you in the future with your blog, with Instagram, with your business, with your friend Steph, who I know, which is exciting. So hopefully, you know, really wish you all the best.
Thanks so much for having me. It was lots of fun.
So there you have it, folks. Episode 52 with Margot Moore. Isn't she a superstar? It's exciting to have her on and really share her story with you guys and her thoughts on different things and how she got to where she is. And it's exciting to follow her journey going forward. We'll have links to all her stuff on the show notes on eliteteamleadership.com.au/EP52, where we'll have links to her stuff and obviously all the other things on there. Also, guys, big shout out again to everyone who is sharing this on social media. It really helps us out. Thank you so much. And importantly for this one, guys, make sure you text that friend, that family member, message, email, whatever it is, give them a call, talk to them in person, you know, old school ways. You really share this episode, this podcast, guys, because we do this for free. We do this week in, week out, and this is for you guys to help you out and hopefully take your game to the next level. So thank you so much for listening. Really, really excited for next week. Got a big guest on with a major story. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a fair bit of work behind this one in particular. So keep an eye out for it, guys. This is next week in the lead up in Australia here to Anzac Day. We've got a guest coming on, and we've got some, you know, really big stories and some really important points we want to get across. So keep an eye for that one, but enjoy your week, and we shall speak to you soon.